I was reading a story about this old movie called City Slickers. And there in the scene in the movie is a scene of three friends who were together, and one of them are telling the others how he had messed up in his entire life. He lost his wife, he lost his son, he lost his job, he lost his self-respect, he lost everything. And he was basically telling his friends, "It's all over. I've lost everything." And to this, the character played by Billy Crystal says, "No, that's not true. You have everything to live for. It's a fresh start. It's a do-over." And Crystal reminds his friends that how when they were little boys, they would play baseball in the old neighborhood. And occasionally one of them would hit the ball into the branches of an old tree that was there, and it would interfere with the play. And all the kids would yell out when the ball was caught up in the branches. All the kids will yell out, "Do over." And they would do the play all over again. And Billy Crystal's character says to this fellow, his friend, he says, "Your life is a do-over." How many of us would love to have a do-over in life, a fresh start in our lives? How many of us, if not all, have made some mistakes, have experienced many setbacks and failures? And sometimes we allow these failures and these setbacks and these mistakes that we've made to enslave us, to imprison us, and to hold us in condemnation to the point that we never enjoy the life that God has for you and I. Many of us have said this to ourselves: "I am going to grow in my relationship with God. This year, I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read the Bible more. I am going to get involved in the church. I am going to spend quality time with my family." And the list goes on and on. And then we are reminded of our setbacks. Then we are reminded of our failures. And this hinders us from moving forward in the things that we want to do. Friends, the good news is today I want to let you know that God says, "I want you to have a fresh start in your life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something new in your life." Doesn't that make you feel excited to know that God wants to do that just for you? Well, in our text this morning, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, God speaking to the people through the prophet Isaiah. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Did you hear what God is saying there, friends? Forget about what has happened before. Don't think about the past. It's over. The book is closed. Friends, we need to understand that God is far more interested in your future than he is in your past. That's where you're going to spend eternity. Some people think that God is stuck on our past, that he's just out to get us, punish us. No. God says, "Forget your past already. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new thing that I'm going to do in your life." There are many people who think that God has stopped moving a long time ago, but that's not true. He said, I will do a new thing. Now, friends, let me quickly add that the fundamental principle of divine activity never changes. But the outward shape of that activity alters with the changing need of God's people. God is doing a new thing, and he wants to do so in your life and in my life. Don't live in the past. That's not, and not all the past is bad. There's some lovely, wonderful things in the past. But sometimes we can't see the new thing that God is doing because we are blinded by the past. You know, it's like people, when we, in 1947, you know, it was like this. You know, in 2001, we used to do that. Stop it! Stop living there! Yeah, some historical background to that text. At this time, the Israelites were being held in captive. They were prisoners in Babylon, and they were at their lowest point. They were not just discouraged, but they were defeated. They were deflated. They were depressed. The children of God of Israel had failed God miserably. Every time he blessed them with something good, he turned it to him as evil things. He gave them the beautiful temple, and they gave him back idol worship. He gave them truth, and they lived and proclaimed a lie. He gave them his commandments, and they lived as if they were suggestions. He gave them wealth, and they used it to abuse the poor. He gave them himself, and they gave him nothing except rejection. Well, at this low point, God sends a word through the prophet Isaiah, because he knew, friends, that his people needed some reassurance. He went about reassuring them in this chapter, Isaiah 43, by first telling them who he is. Right? Now, you can go home and read the whole chapter. It's a beautiful chapter, but let me just give you a summary of it. In verse 1, he tells them that he is their creator, that he is the one who made them out of nothing, and they are his. He uses these words, you are mine. In verse 3 and 4, he tells them that he is the Lord. He is the one who loves them, and that they are precious in his sight. In verse 5, he tells them not to be afraid because he is with them. In verse 11, he tells them that he is the Lord, and apart from him, there is no other savior. In verse 14, he tells them that he is their redeemer, and they have all they need in him. In verse 15, he tells them that he is the Holy One and King, the one who keeps his promises. And if that wasn't enough, in verse 16 and 17, he reminds them of the great things that he had done for their forefathers, how he brought them out of bondage in Egypt, and how in the middle of the Red Sea, he made a highway for his people and a cemetery for their enemies. Talking about Pharaoh's army. God is all-powerful, friends. He says the same thing to you and I today. If you're not sure, think about what the Lord has done for us. Some of us have faced Pharaoh's army. We have faced the enemy in the form of a doctor's diagnosis about our health. We have faced the army, the enemy, when we lost our job and we found ourselves in financial difficulties. We have faced Pharaoh's army when we had break downs in our family relationship. Suddenly now we're not talking to our brother, we're not talking to our cousins and our family. And when we lost our loved ones, when someone we loved dearly died, we are facing the enemy as it were. But in every one of those situations, somebody here can testify today to the fact that God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Amen. Somebody here can stand up and say, you know what? My life was hopeless and I was lost and struggling, but God came through. God came through for you. Why? Man, he loves you to distraction. He said to the people of Israel, you are mine. And he says the same thing to you and I this morning. Do not just riffraff. Not important. He says, you are precious to me. And I want to do something special in your life. Friends, the children of Israel did not deserve to receive anything from God. But yet he still loved them. And he earnestly wanted to help them change. God was not condemning them for their past. God was not condemning them. You just hopeless rubbish. No, he was not condemning them. He never does that. They could do nothing to change their past. And you too, friends, you can't change what happened last year. Instead, God was holding out a hand of hope. In effect, he was saying, forget about your past. I'm giving you an opportunity to start over. I'm giving you an opportunity for a new beginning. Maybe, friends, he is saying that to you this morning. God wanted to give hope and encouragement to his people. He wanted them to know that even while they were prisoners in Babylon, that they were not forsaken, that it was not the end of them. You may feel, friend, that you've made some mistakes, that you failed yourself, you failed your family, you failed God so many times. You may have a financial failure, a relational failure, or a moral failure. You may have really blown it, and you have made decisions you are ashamed of and you hope nobody finds out about. Now you're feeling that it's over. There's no future for you. It's easy to think that it's over, friends, regardless of the failure you have had in your life. God is saying, it's not over. I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So how do we apply the new thing that God is doing in our lives? How do we make a fresh start? How do we start over? I want to give you three quick little things. The first thing to get in a fresh start in your life is stop making excuses. I just wanted you to laugh because that's not such a nice one. Stop making excuses, friends. If you want to start over, you've got to stop making excuses for your failures. You got to stop blaming other people. You got to stop seeing yourself as a victim of your circumstances. People can hurt you. People can harm you. But the only person who can ruin you is yourself. Nobody can ruin your life without your permission. You have a choice, and you can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. The Bible says that the starting point is to just be honest. Be honest already. I messed up royally. I made mega mistakes. We're not all looking at you and saying, man, what a rubbish. We are saying, I can identify, me too, buddy. If you say you've never made a mistake, let me shake your hand. I don't want to wash it again. Because you're awesome. We all messed up, friends. Listen, listen. You say, me too, Keith? Yes. Say, well, I didn't know that. Now you know. That's just joking, friends. Come on, smile a while. Anyway, listen, friends. Be honest. Take responsibility for your part in the problem. Listen to this verse here. Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses, if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Isn't that lovely? You say, is that all? Yes, you get a fresh start. The starting point to starting over, friends, is to be honest and face to the problems, that most of the problems and failure in my life is my fault. It's not Johnny who lives down the road. It's me. Friends, people don't like to admit it. I made a mistake. I blew it. You got to admit it. God says that if we admit the mistake, if we admit the failures, if we admit our sin, then we get another chance. Listen what the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, wrong living. That's what it means. So friends, don't be afraid to admit when you've made a mistake, when you have sinned, that you are not perfect. Besides, when you blame others or make excuses for the troubles, you tend to want to give up. But don't give up. Don't give up. Listen, maybe God brought you here to hear that this morning. Don't give up. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you give up when troubles come, it just shows you are weak. The Bible says we need to stop making excuses. We need to admit that it's our fault, and we need to say, sorry, Lord, forgive us, Lord. We need to repent and then move on with our lives. The second thing, friends, about getting a new start, a fresh start, is to act in faith. Faith is a Bible word for belief, believing, belief. We have to launch into a new territory. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstances, it's going to take faith. If you want to change your personality, it's going to require faith. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to have faith. You have to believe that God can do it, friends. One day, two blind men heard that Jesus is coming along, and they called out to him. Let's read that part. Matthew 9:28 and 29. Have mercy on us, son of David, that's what they called Jesus. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they said. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That is, friends, a very simple statement, but it's very powerful. According to your faith, it will be done. If these blind men said, well, Lord, we don't know, have you got any training, medical training in eye surgery that you can make us see? It depends now which medical school you went to. No, they don't have faith. But when Jesus said, you think I can make you see? Yes, you can make us see. Why? We believe. We believe, Lord. Friends, what are you expecting in life? Are things going to be better or worse or stay the same? If you act in faith, then you will do something positive to ensure that you don't repeat the same mistakes over. You must truly believe that God is able. That God is able to see you through your struggles. The faith that I am talking about, it's not some kind of, I hope so kind of faith. Or I think so kind of faith. Or I'm not talking about, I wish so kind of faith. I am talking about, I know so kind of faith. Do you see the difference, friends? Lord, can you help me? Can you see me through my difficulties? Yes, I can. It's I know so kind of faith. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about, friends. Anything else will not work. To experience the new and amazing things that God has prepared for you, you must act on your faith. You may say, Johnny is not good enough to do this, but Jesus is. I've tried this, that didn't work, but God can. Remember, friends, you have to stop rehearsing your past. You've got to stop regretting your past. And you have to get on with the present and the future. And the more time you spend regretting your past, the more of your future is wasted. The more time you spend thinking, I wish that didn't happen. I wish I could change that. If only I could go back, reverse the clock and redo history. Do you know what you're doing in essence? You are rehearsing and regretting. And you're not, and you're making yourself miserable. You're setting yourself up for more failure. The way you set yourself up for more failure is by focusing on past failures. Whatever you focus on, friends, you tend to reproduce in your life. Remember, Jesus says, according to your faith. Not my mother who served the Lord. Not my uncle who was a missionary. No, no, no. Not them. Not their faith. My faith. Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done. If you've got faith, yes, it will be done. Friends, believe that God is able to do an amazing thing in your life. Don't let the past mistakes, setbacks, and failures hold you back from God's blessing. From believing that God has a fresh anointing for your life. I know that some people never act in faith because they are paralyzed by the fear of past failures and mistakes. Faith is not so much the absence of fear. Faith is moving forward in spite of the fear. Sometimes faith is doing the thing you fear the most. I said this a few weeks ago, if I remember. This is one of my favorite sayings. Because we are driven by fear. It says, fear knocked on the door. Fear knocked. Faith opened and no one was there. You see that, friends? Let me give you one more thing. The final step of getting a fresh start in life is to trust in God. Trust in God. Trust God to help you succeed. Depend on Him. We don't need to depend on ourselves. We already proven that we can't do it on our own, and that's why we failed. We can't change who we are, but God can change who you are. Amen. I'm not speaking about the outward man changing my clothes and my hairstyle. No. I'm talking about the inner man, the real you, the one in your heart. That's the one I'm talking about. Success in a Christian life is not trying harder, but giving God control. Say, Lord, you control my life. You come into my heart. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you lead me and guide me and protect me. You be there for me. Too often we fail because we depend on what we understand, what we can do. But Zechariah reminds us that we will succeed not by our own strength or power, but by God's. Let's just read that verse. Not by might, nor by power, Zechariah 4:6. But by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Another version puts it this way. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then one of the verses we learned when we were little, and this is a powerful verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Tells us that when faced by a mountain or a valley, a struggle, that we are to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Gospel singer Donnie McCulkin asked some questions in one of his songs. Yes, some questions. What do you do when you've done all you can and it seems like it's never enough? What do you say when your friends turn away and you're all alone? What do you give when you've given your all and it seems like you can't make it through? And here's the answer in the song. When there's nothing left to do, you just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Isn't that something? Friends, if He can make a way in the wilderness and stream in the rivers in the desert, we know that He's able to move your present situation, your struggles, out of your way. You know why? It's not on the screen, but the Bible says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. When there seems to be no way, the Lord can make a way. Where there seems to be no hope, the Lord will give us hope. Where there seems to be no present joy, in Christ, you will discover new joy. When you seem to have no strength, we find that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We serve a God who wants to do a new thing. He's just wanting to do a new thing in our lives. So let's remember this, dear friends. Firstly, acknowledge that you messed up. I made the mistakes, Lord. Please forgive me. Secondly, believe that He can do it. And thirdly, trust Him with all our hearts and lives. Isn't that lovely, friends? Let me end by saying, we serve a God who is going to do a new thing, but we must believe. We must follow where He leads. We must listen when He speaks. We must give when He expects. We must desire when He offers. We must claim when He promises. And we must see when He reveals. A new start in life is offered to all of us. Anytime. we are willing to accept it from God. Let's read our text just in closing. See? I am doing a new thing. That's the Lord speaking. Do you not perceive it? Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Let's bow our heads in prayer. It's not by chance, Lord, that we are here today to hear that word from you. We all struggle, we must admit it. We all hold ourselves in condemnation because of the past. But today you have reminded us to have faith in you and to trust you, Lord, to do a wonderful work in our lives. We are not saying that we wish so-and-so was here. We're saying, I'm glad I am here. And so, Lord, continue to do a work in our lives. Continue to work a miracle in our lives. Every one of us need you, Lord. None of us have arrived in any stretch of the imagination. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.